You bet. Well, and thanks for hosting again, Cam. We appreciate it. And, you know, it's always never the best situation, but hey, you know, this is what we'll do. This is what we'll do. So, did everybody receive the packet?
Yes.
Okay. Do we need to share a screen on that, or can everybody just look at theirs, what they have?
I can share the PowerPoint if you want. I can share the individual documents, whatever you're discussing. Just let me know.
Sam and Kim, Rachel, do you want to share it? Or?
Yeah, it'd probably be good to have the PowerPoint up.
PowerPoint? Okay.
We'll do okay. That. Okay. So, yeah, so Sam and Rachel will be doing most of this. So I guess you guys, whenever you're all ready, go ahead.
I think a great place to always start out with these presentations is an overarching view of kind of what's going on in the general economy and in the market overall. So in quarter four, as we are all so well aware of, there was another infection wave. Although to be perfectly honest, it feels like one big wave altogether. But in any case, this occurred, and thankfully it wasn't as bad as in quarter one when we saw that massive shock, because everyone is pretty much getting used to this new normal, and there's procedures to continue everyday life with it. Jobless claims continue to fluctuate alongside these infection waves and the resulting restrictions and closures and so forth. And we expect this to continue on as we continue to struggle with these pandemic effects. Looking forward, we see continued political risk, slow vaccine rollout, some maybe potential tax changes contributing the most to the rest of the year's uncertainty.
On this slide, we just have a kind of a snapshot of the Treasury yield curve. You can see it's starting to steepen as we get further and further out. A lot of that's to do with, you know, the expectation that the economy is going to reopen and that, you know, inflation might be picking up. So just kind of a snapshot there. You can see the shorter maturities are still pretty well beat down, down there near zero. But as you go out 10 to 30 years, starting to steepen and pick up a little bit.
On this slide, we just have a view of the asset allocation for the account. The actual amounts are pretty close to the targets. We do look a little bit overweight in equities, maybe a little bit short fixed income. So some cycling there might be necessary throughout 2021. But overall, it looks pretty much where we want to be.
And here we just have a snapshot of fixed income, breakdown of your fixed income. You can see that we're pretty heavy in U.S. corporates, next followed by U.S. government, some CDs, and a little bit in treasuries, not a whole lot in treasuries. And then over there on the right, we have a breakdown of the bond ratings. And it's pretty much all investment grade, pretty highly rated stuff.
Here is a view of the maturities in the fixed income portfolio. So as you can see, we're pretty much geared towards the intermediate, maybe a teensy bit towards the long end. This is to match our target duration of 5 to 7 years, which also matches the respective benchmark. So we're moving forward with that, and that's aligning well with the benchmark.
Here we've got a kind of some highlights and lowlights of the fixed income portion of your portfolio. We'll start with the underperformer, which was U.S. Treasuries, which we only have about a 3.5% allocation towards. So doesn't make a big part of your portfolio. But as you can see, it lagged 1.42% in Q4 versus the respective benchmark. And it lagged 3.8% year to date versus that benchmark. And a lot of this was to do with the rising interest rates in Q4, kind of put a hurting on that portion. But again, it's not a whole lot of the portfolio. Moving on to the outperform, U.S. agencies quite outperformed the benchmark. In Q4, it outperformed by 0.4%. Year to date, it beat it by 3.6. So that was a pretty good performance from the U.S. agency side of the fixed income.
That page didn't print as good as the rest of them. It doesn't look as good as the one you just showed.
Didn't print very well.
The center of it overlapped.
Oh no.
Let's see if I can.
But anyway, that might just be my computer.
And now as we look to the equity side of the account, here is a view of the allocation within that equity portion. So again, pretty close to the target amounts with a focus on the larger cap side of things. We do have a modest amount allocated to mid, small, and developed market categories to provide for some growth on that side, but mostly focused on the higher quality, larger, more stable firms.
All right, and here we just have a bit of a further breakdown. So the first or the last page we looked at was the entire portfolio. And this page is just looking at the equities. So you can see there we've got a heavy allocation to large caps, about 61% are large caps, followed by a pretty healthy allocation towards mid caps at about 28%. Small caps we kept down towards 5% just because in 2020, the first half of 2020 was not super favorable towards small caps. They had a bit of a rally at the end of the year, but there was so much uncertainty throughout 2020 with the markets and especially with the small companies that we limited some allocation there. Then we have about 6% into developed markets, which is internationals, and then about 1% to other, which is your gold holdings.
And here is just another highlight of what worked well this quarter, this past year, something that didn't work as well, and then a new holding in the account. So starting with what didn't work quite as well was the basic material holding. This was Air Products and Materials. It was really strongly performing for most of the year until November. And then I think some major COVID effects kind of started hitting them, and they started to lag the category a bit. We do not suspect this will have significant impacts for its long-term potential. And new opportunities in gasification, green hydrogen, and carbon capture position this stock really well for long-term growth. So we're gonna keep our bullish expectations on this. Our outperformer for the quarter and for the year was financial services. We long suspected this as the financial sector kind of sold off in the beginning part of the year. This is probably because people are a bit suspicious of this area after the financial crisis, maybe just a little bit scared to have exposure there. So it sold off in the earlier part, but of course, after a while, rationalization has hit and it's recovered well towards the end of the year. But because we stayed in our long-term positions with the higher quality, this of course paid off in the year. Moving on to the new holding, we established this in January. We have identified significant upside potential and value in ExxonMobil. So this was one stock that sold off fairly rapidly at the beginning of 2020, but is now recovering and will continue to recover as demand increases. So we reduced the overweight exposure to industrials to allow for this play, and we will report back on this performance in April.
All right, finally, we have the class blended returns. So you can see in Q4, it was pretty good. Did 9.9% compared to the benchmark's 9%. So it's pretty strong fourth quarter. Year to date, however, we lagged by about 4%, 3.5%. And a lot of that was had to do with the first quarter where we lagged about 4% worse than the benchmark, which in this case, as far as equities, we're down about 4%. And that's compared to the S&P. Just something to keep in mind with this class benchmark, that is benchmarking our large, mid, and small caps all against the S&P 500, which the S&P 500 is all large caps. So it skews it a little bit. It's not 100% fair, but it's one of the easiest ways to kind of show it to you guys. But that's where that 4% difference came from, was really in Q1 of 2020 during that big sell-off. We just got hit a little bit harder. But the performance throughout the rest of the year has been strong. And in Q4, it continued that wave of strength.
Yeah, just to add to that too, Sam, it's of course the corporate bond market, of course, was kind of a problem at that point in time. There's some illiquidity in the first quarter. And of course, of our fixed income allocation, which is roughly the 30%, almost 70% of that's in corporate bonds. And that's where we had a little bit of problems. And you know, it's one of those things that happened, but the reality is that there was a lot of concern about the liquidity in that corporate market and so forth. And prices just went crazy. It just, you know, it was just dropping almost like a crash type thing. But then the government stepped in and started backing up investment grade corporate bonds. And they did it through an ETFs to begin with. And then, of course, then they went to individual corporates, which is typically what we invest into. And that kind of shored things up. So everything kind of got back to normal again from that standpoint. But, you know, they were taking pictures and, you know how the performance was in January, February, March. And that's just the way it was. So that kind of explains part of that. So it did skew the returns a little bit, but I think, you know, like I say, you can't exclude it, but you know, if you do exclude it, you know, things are pretty much in pretty good shape. From a long-term perspective, I was pulling that up to look at the more current stuff, but we go back, our performance numbers go back on this particular thing for about the last 5 years. The goal, as you remember in the investment policy statement, is to earn an 8% target rate of return. And if you all recall, we had a very big discussion about that last year. Should we drop it or that sort of thing? And of course, I had made a case for keeping it, you know, at least for another year, though, you know, conditions are a little bit different than they used to be. But with the target being 8% net of fees and so forth, compared to what actually happened for the last 5 years, roughly has been 9.6. So basically we've exceeded the what I would call the real benchmark of this whole thing, that we've got to make this 8% in order to give you that 5% distribution rate and to have something left over to fight inflation. And of course, fortunately, inflation hasn't been too much of a problem at this point. So it's done really well from that standpoint. And of course, as y'all recall, or I sent the email out that you're particularly for the library, you know, you got a, well, everybody, the school district as well as Graham Hospital all got a pay raise the way the distributions went out. So the figure that went off was, 25.8 million. And we ended up finishing the year of 2020 at 28.7 million. So that was a pretty substantial increase, and doing the math and so forth, it turns out that where the school district and Graham Hospital get an extra $1,000 a month average, or about $3,000 a quarter more. And of course, since the library gets half the income, you know, that averages out about $2,000 or about $6,000 a quarter. So that's, you know, a lot better discussion than we had a year ago when we kind of had a little bit of problems with the markets and so forth. and you're looking forward to this year, the figure that's going to drop off from our calculation is 23.3 million. And as of recently, the portfolio is somewhere really, really close to about 29 million. So there's a lot of gap in that figure. So you would, if we can, if things can kind of hold together, you know, for the remainder part of the year, hopefully we'll see another significant increase next year. But again, there's a long way to go. We got, you know, a new shift in the political environment, as Rachel and Sam were talking about, and, you know, some concerns about a couple other things that could pop in there. But it bodes pretty well, you know, how things have kind of looked. So I think that's just something to kind of share from that standpoint. The other two things we sent you was the transaction reports. Not really much to report there. I'll just cover real quick. But we made a couple of purchases late in December for some cash we had and basically put that into some treasuries, as again was pointed out by Sam and Rachel. You know, treasuries kind of had a rough quarter, but also it created some value at that point in time because interest rates went up. So we wanted to be sure to capture some of those higher rates. And we did it more quickly by buying those ETFs. And then we did sell a position back in October, again, pointing out, as Sam did, about the performance against the S&P 500, we had sold a portion of our small cap value, which was lagging quite a bit at that point in time. So we reduced that position quite a bit and to kind of help out the returns. But from a buy and selling standpoint, that was about it. And if you look over the portfolio as a whole, really everything is pretty much showing a profit. So, you know, maybe a big profit, little profit, but everything that is purchased with one or two exceptions is about it. And I say, I think, you know, again, we're sticking with the 70-30 allocation. We've had discussions recently about, you know, increasing a little bit more to the international side. And as you noticed before, the allocations were a little bit light on that, but it seems like that could be where the value could be in the coming months and in weeks and years and so forth. So, you know, that'll be kind of what kind of the future's looking like there. I was hoping to have an updated investment policy statement for you to review for this meeting, but it didn't get it done. We were kind of in the midst of a move with the bank building to the new bank building. So it kind of put us a little bit behind, but we'll work on that. I'll send something out probably in a few days as a draft, not a lot of change probably, but we might look at the benchmarks a little bit to be sure that we're lined up. Again, as Sam kind of alluded to, everything's kind of lumped into a certain thing. We may want to split that up so we can be a little bit more fair on the blended benchmark a little bit. And fair meaning that, you know, you're getting the right kind of data to help make, to understand as far as how the performance is in relation to that particular asset class. So I'll send that out. And I think, Kim, you said you all had a meeting in February 17th, was it?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. So definitely I'll get it to you before then. Like I say, I'm, you know, Tad, with you guys as far as where you got to send it off to. And I don't see Bob. I don't know if Bob's out there or not. But we'll send him a copy too. And I think it's pretty much, he runs that by his finance committee. So send it out. If you got any questions, of course, just let us know. I think that's pretty much it. As you see, we've kind of shortened up the presentation a little bit on the PowerPoint, kind of hitting some key points and everything, and try to get the information out to you a little bit sooner. We'd hoped to do it yesterday and didn't get around to it, but hopefully had a chance to look at it from the standpoint, if you got any questions, and then be in prep for the meeting and stuff. But is there any questions about anything or Sam, Rachel, did I miss something should have covered?
I feel like with everything in the news, I should be asking you about what our position in GameStop is, you know, after that big short squeeze that they did.
Yeah, someone asked me about that in the meeting this morning, and I joke on my personal money. I always tell them, I said, well, up, I didn't buy it. I bought it, you know, worse, personally. But yeah, and that's one of the things I know, and I keep talking to Rachel and Sam about this, because I said, you know, there's a lot of these goofy things going on like that, that usually means you're getting, possibly maybe getting to a market top. May not be next week, it may be 6 months down the road, but you can tell that kind of stuff is usually your clue. But yeah, I got you.
It was too good not to ask about, you know.
That's right.
I saw it in the news, and I was like, we got an investment meeting today.
That's right. Everything going okay with you, Tad?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. Taking a little bit of a hit on the staffing side with some of our administrative team in COVID. So just wearing a lot of hats right now and keeping things rolling. It's actually sounds crazy. It's kind of fun.
Well, I guess it's different. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Leans with kids and my staff, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's. I know my daughter. She teaches down in Texas, and she decided not to go back for the second semester and stay home with the kids and, you know, teach them at home and everything. And of course, that's in Texas, and things are a little bit different than here. But you know, everybody's kind of treating this thing differently. But and particularly talk about the kids, you know, you always got to be careful with that too. So
yeah.
Well,
it's been a good week coming back. So
that's good. That's good. And the library's doing okay, Kim?
Yeah, we're still operating like we did as of June 1. We're open. Capacity limits haven't really ever been reached here. We still don't have formal story times or anything at this point. And most libraries are still planning a little bit for a virtual combination for summer reading, yeah, just to be on the safe side and protect children.
Right.
But things are going, you know, they're going along.
Good. Well, I guess hopefully expectations are that things will loosen up, I mean, for everybody in the coming months, and the vaccine's coming out. So, and, you know, I think everybody's making an effort to have that happen. So that'd be good. But, you know, plan on coming over to the bank in April. We're definitely going to meet. That's the plan at this point. And, you know, we still got to do social distancing and mask and all that stuff. But we've got a nice big room. Capacity that we can set up in, and those that can't join us, we can set up a go-to meeting, and they can join us that way too. So, but we'll be definitely up and running. So hopefully get some sort of normalcy back to everything. So.
And a special thank you to all of you at MidAmerica for donating some of your discarded equipment, the fireproof cabinets, and we have regular fireproof cabinet and two fireproof cabinets that have worked out wonderfully. So thank you all for what you do for the community and for the library.
Well, good.
Very much appreciated.
Yeah, Rick's on too, and he's of course leading the ship on doing a great job. And I know that was kind of a key thing for us, because we had a lot of nice things still. I mean, you know, just because we're moving the building, there's still a lot of nice furniture and equipment, and want to be sure it's put to good use. And from that standpoint, so that's good. I think it's all gone now, though, Rick, isn't it? There's not anything left.
Oh, we got some guest chairs and a few filing cabinets here and there. And we have a nice podium, Kim, but you didn't want it. So we'll.
Yeah, we do have one of those. So, but thank you for thinking of us.
Yeah.
Actually, since we're talking, I'm just out of curiosity, since I haven't had a chance to make it over yet, you guys out front, and so this will sort of hijack the meeting a little bit, but I'll be quick. You have like a cash register from my grandparents' furniture store displayed out front. Did that make it over? Just out of curiosity.
Sure did.
Cool.
Trick B, when you walk in the door, you'll see it.
Cool.
Can't wait. Yeah, we're kind of making our lobby a historic lobby. If you know, when you walk in, you'll see images of Canton all throughout the bank. We got a Orndorff cash box that he used to pay his employees in cash. It's a strong box. We've got that sitting in our lobby. That's going to be our time capsule.
Great.
And, so yeah, and we got the cash register sitting on one of the front counters there that you see when you walk in the door. So
cool.
But yeah, we've got a lot of Canton history. We're trying to preserve the history of Canton, and it's you know, it's pretty neat actually. So
yeah,
got to stop in.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Canton's been great to us. In fact, one of the founding directors of our bank was William Ingersoll. He was a board member, one of the first board members that when our bank was formed in 1933. So we got a long, rich history of Canton and ties to Canton from a lot of the older names in Canton, you know, Seabury's and Orndorff's and Ingersoll's and Parlin's. And so it's pretty neat, and we just want to preserve that history because the community has been so great to us. We just want to give back.
Yeah, it's definitely neat. It's a good experience for me, not being from the area, but I learned a lot just from being part of picking those things out. So what's that picture about? Where, again, people will be more happy to tell you the story about it. So I think it's kind of a come and do your business here, but also it's kind of a learning experience, or at least go back in history a little bit. So it's probably one of the coolest places I've ever worked in, for sure. Well, is there any other questions about the account, the trust, or anything else that we didn't cover or should have covered?
Thanks for the great work. We'll put the money to good use for sure. Sorry, Chris.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And just want to say the new bank does look very, very good. It's a beautiful building. So well done.
It was a great team effort. Thank you.
Yes. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, thanks. Appreciate it much. Like I said, we'll get the investment policy statement out within the next week or so. And if you got any questions about it, you know, just let us know. Happy to go there. And as always, just because we're meeting, you know, if you have a question later, feel free to email us or call us. You know, we'd be more than happy to ever go through, you know, whatever we need to go through and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay.